Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. A quick reminder, head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you're listening today with the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in this episode. When you go to the podcast page on my website, classtechtips.com, don't forget to check out the free stuff section full of graphic organizers, ebooks, and more goodies you can download instantly. This episode is sponsored by Hopra. Students need one place to find everything they need for digital learning. Hopra's Student Dashboard Digital Backpack brings together Google Classroom assignments and notifications, emails from teachers, reminders when an assignment is due or late, Google Drive files, and textbooks and resources. So students can log in and start learning whether they are one-to-one in the classroom or learning from home. Visit hopra.com/digital-backpack to learn more. This week's episode is titled, What Does an Instructional Tech Specialist Do with Rosie Fleming? I am so excited to have Rosie join on the podcast today for a host of reasons. One, I just love when I connect with people on social media, like a space like Twitter, and get excited about what they're doing, chat with them, and are able to set up a call and, of course, share all the things that we talk about with listeners of the podcast. I'm also very excited because this topic of what someone does is one I really like to explore, and I have a few more episodes planned this year. You might remember episode 136 with Dr. Sarah Thomas, where we talked about what a regional tech coordinator does. So when I connected with Rosie on Twitter and asked her to come on and talk about her role as an instructional tech specialist, I was really pumped to just dive into what her day-to-day looks like, give you some insight in case this is a role that you are thinking about exploring sometime in the future. So she shares a lot of great tips, background on her journey, and information that I think you'll find interesting whether you have this role right now, you're thinking about exploring this role, or you might be in a position where you're helping develop different roles or choose new roles for new staff members or revisiting different descriptions for different roles. So a lot to unpack in this episode, and let's go ahead and jump in with Rosie Fleming, who's gonna help us tackle the question, what does an instructional tech specialist do? Welcome to the podcast, Rosie. I am so excited to have you on to talk about your role, what your day-to-day looks like, and all of those things. So let's start right there. What is your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
Okay, it's great to be here, Monica. My name, like I said, is Rosie Fleming. I'm an instructional technology specialist with the Liberty County School System. And my day looks like me starting out at one of my five schools. I have office hours set up each day of the week. So within that day, I usually have some appointments set up with teachers already in advance, and some are not set up. They usually know that I'm coming on a specific day, so they will email that I'm there. The media specialist usually does that. And the appointments that I have set up with teachers, I will usually go down there and meet with them. And the ones that I don't have set up, they feel free to email me to come down to their room, or they will come to the media center, which is usually where I'm housed for that day.
Oh, awesome. And I appreciate you giving that context, since today, and we've done this last year on the podcast, we're diving into your role. And so many listeners of the podcast have different or evolving roles within education, interested in education technology. And I know we first connected on Twitter, which is such a popular place to go for learning and gathering ideas, especially for those of us interested in ed tech. And since today we're going to talk a little bit more about just your role and what it looks like and all of those pieces to help people understand what an instructional technology specialist really does. First, I'm hoping we can first start at the beginning of your career. How did you get started in education? What was your first role?
Okay, my first role in education was a paraprofessional, which is a teacher's assistant. So I started out there, and from that, I became a high school secretary. And after working as a high school secretary and a paraprofessional, I realized I wanted to become a classroom teacher. So I went to school, became a classroom teacher, and from there, I realized that I wanted to be an instructional technology specialist because so much technology was coming our way, and I just thought it was just awesome. So after being the classroom teacher, I aspired to be an instructional technology specialist. So when the position came open, I applied for it and didn't get it on the first try, but on the second attempt, I became an instructional technology specialist. And so here I am today living my dream job, which is an instructional technology specialist. And I'm housed at the central office. So it's just been an awesome ride. So I've had several positions and now I'm at my dream job.
That's amazing. And I appreciate you sharing that, just the journey, the different roles that you've had within education. I think it's so great to have that context or that view, right, of being, you know, working in a high school building, working in an elementary school building with students, and having all of that bring you to a central office position. So I would imagine there's an official job description and maybe an unofficial piece to it too, right? Even as a classroom teacher, you know, we get brought in to do all the things, right? We're all the different hats. So you shared a bit about your day-to-day. So I'm curious, you know, what is your official or unofficial job description as an instructional technology specialist?
Okay. Being an instructional technology specialist, my official job is to help teachers integrate technology into their curriculum. So I help them with the software that comes out, the hardware that comes out. I help them all with integrating that into their classrooms. So to make a long story short, we are a one-to-one school system with iPads, and all of our teachers have MacBooks. So when we received those, I had to do training on the iPads and the MacBooks with the teachers. So there are two more of us. So there are three total in our district. And so that's what we did. We developed training for the iPads and the MacBooks and got the teachers all trained and ready to go with that. So an instructional technology specialist officially helps the teachers and the students really get the technology going and make sure it enhances the instruction in the curriculum.
Great. And, you know, as you talked about just developing the training, you know, I would imagine it's, you know, very responsive to what your educators, the educators you're working with are asking about, or what you know with your knowledge base, right? You might anticipate some of those questions,
yes,
right, that might come through. So can you tell us a little bit about planning that type of professional learning in your role? Is it really formal? Is it more responsive? What does that tend to look like?
Yes, it is. Getting together with the academic specialist at each school and getting their needs based on what each school needs is what my training is really revolves around. And so meeting with various people at the various schools that I work in, and formulating training specific to the school's needs is mostly what I do. But then there are also some district-wide trainings that come down that we need to make sure the teachers have. So we collaborate also with the content specialists to make sure that any tools that they have come, any software that's coming down from them, that it also is going to work, for example, with the iPads, so that we have the best software for the hardware also. So we collaborate with a bunch of different people to make sure that the training is specific for what we're doing, if that makes sense. Specific for the teachers, specific for the students, specific for the academic specialists, because sometimes we train different groups of people on different types of things. We have to train teachers, like I said, on software to work with the hardware. And we also have to train academic specialists at the school on different programs that work for them. For example, Google Forms is a good example because they send out a lot of surveys. So we have to train them on how to use Google Forms to send out to the teachers for surveys and other responsive items like that.
And, you know, as you were talking, I'm so appreciative of your emphasis on the collaborative nature, right, of your professional development planning. Yes. And the support, really listening in to make sure, you know, that everyone has what they need. And I would imagine that having really clear lines of communication is a big part of that.
Yes, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And collaborating with my co-workers in here, the other instructional technology specialists here, we also do a lot of collaboration because the trainings that we come together and do are the same training. So we don't make it specific for one school. We make the one training so that each of us can do the same thing just at our different schools. So that's a big help too for us to collaborate together.
That's fantastic, because I would imagine having that foundation where everyone is kind of speaking the same language, right, or rooted in the same big idea, then that extra layer of customization, right, can happen.
Right, right. You have to be able to work together collaboratively to get the job done.
So, Rosie, I'm curious, when you think about the past 2 years and all of the challenges of the past 2 years when it comes to instruction, delivery models being changed, sometimes quick or fast, or what feels like very last minute almost decisions being made, and everywhere in the country's been very different, you know, when it comes to the different modes for teaching over the past few years, you know, how has your role changed with the different ways you're supporting educators, or has it changed at all?
Yes, it has changed. It has changed a lot because, as you said, sometimes it has changed really quickly. And so we have to switch gears really quickly and get the teachers comfortable with using virtual online learning. And that is something that we have to try to get them really comfortable with really fast. And this year went a lot smoother than the first year did because we were already ready. We use Canvas as our LMS. Mm-hmm. And so this year we were more comfortable with it. We had gone through and made the changes we needed to make. We tweaked everything. We had the support level of support that we needed to have for the teachers. We had Zoom meetings here. We came in to the building, the three of us. So we were here while maybe some of the teachers were virtual. Mm-hmm. Well, the teachers were virtual teaching, and the three of us were here at the central office building. We were virtual a couple of weeks ago. So we had an open Zoom meeting waiting for any teachers that needed to come in so that we could assist them. We have a helpline that's here at the central office for parents to call in, and then we could call them back and assist them as well. So we had a fine-oiled machine going this time. We were ready.
Yeah, I would imagine those systems, right? Having that in place, once you can anticipate, right, all the unknowns from the previous year, right? Having those routines or those systems or those channels in place for people to reach out is just so crucial. And, you know, you talked a little bit, Rosie, about the team members that you collaborate with. And I'm curious, you know, we connected on Twitter, like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, like, are there other people with the role of instructional technology specialist in other parts of the country, other parts in the world, other parts of your state that you connect with either virtually or kind of more of a collaborative planning on the ground?
Yes, there is a technology, instructional technology, media collaborative that we connect with. There is one coming up in a couple of weeks, as a matter of fact. We meet like once a year. Mm-hmm. And so I network with them. And so they're having a collaborative in like a couple of weeks in an area here in Georgia, not far from our area. Usually it's right here in the Hinesville area where I'm located, mm-hmm. but it's going to be a little further away, but still drivable. So we meet at least once a year and we share tech ideas and it's like a little mini conference. So I do collaborate with them and they do send out like a Tech Tuesday every Tuesday. So we do stay in touch and collaborate that way. So it's a media, it's with media specialists and instructional technology specialists. So we all get together and see each other that way. And we do stay in touch virtually as well through Twitter, which is mm-hmm. awesome. And we also stay connected through email.
That's fantastic. Because I think, you know, we can all be in our own little world sometimes, right? Our own little
spaces.
And so just being able to hear what someone else's day-to-day looks like, even if they have the same title or some challenge that came across their desk virtually or physical desk, right? And just to hear that story is so powerful. And, you know, I'm sure you have lots of stories about your own role. And before we talk a little bit about what someone should do if they want to explore this role in their own kind of in their own space, you know, what would surprise people the most about what you do?
I think people would be surprised about how much work it actually goes into being an instructional technology specialist. There's a lot to do. We collaborate so much with different people in order to get the job done. It's not just where you stare at a computer screen all day and stay in one place, like here at the central office. I have 5 schools that I keep track of. So I have different people that I collaborate with in order to get the job done. Trainings that I do, I have to make sure that I take care of the teachers there. Not only do I take care of the teachers' issues, sometimes there are students that have issues. Maybe their app isn't working for the LMS. Then I try to troubleshoot that and figure out what's going on with that. I make many calls to our LMS people if the app is not working to try to figure out what's going on for the kids. So not only do I help the teachers, I help the students as well. So it's, and like I said, I juggle 5 schools. So it's, I don't just sit, right. I'm not just housed, I'm housed at the central office, but I'm not here every day. I'm out at 5 different schools helping to make sure they run smoothly with their technology.
And what a great distinction to make too, because I think sometimes when we aren't quite sure what someone does, right, it's easy to make assumptions about what their role looks like or what their responsibilities are or how they could help
right.
An initiative even too. So, you know, you mentioned a bit about your journey and you finding a position you were excited about, applying for it. And if someone wants to be an instructional tech specialist in their school or in their district or in their region, what should they do?
I think the first thing that they should do is become a tech leader in their school, mm-hmm. be the go-to person that everyone can go to for technology issues, and have a lot of patience. Not everyone understands technology, and it's going to take some time for people to understand how things in technology work. So you're going to have a lot of patience, especially in this job, mm-hmm. because you have to be a people person also. there are going to be a lot of issues that people have. Students are going to have a lot of issues. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work. Become that person in your school first and make sure that you really love what you're doing. But first, start at your school. Be that go-to person, and you have to really love technology. I mean, I love technology all the time. I'm a gadget person, not only here at the school system, but in my life. I just love technology all the time. So make sure you're passionate about what you're doing. Make sure that it's your passion, because you can get burnt out. But make sure that whatever you do, it should be your passion. And technology is my passion.
This is such great advice, Rosie. You know, and the idea of being that tech leader in your school, everyone already knowing without even having to think twice that you're the go-to person or you're the obvious clear candidate for the formal role when you've probably been doing some of that work and support informally, right? Leading up to maybe a new position opening up. And I'm sure you've heard from folks in different parts of the country too, you know, that now there's more and more of these roles because there's now a clear need for it, where, you know, some schools and districts might not have had someone with this title or these responsibilities just 3 or 4 years ago. So, you know, before we finish up, Rosie, because I want to make sure everyone knows how to connect with you and all of that, I'd love to just hear, because I'm sure people come to you with a lot of tech questions right over the course of the day. Do you have like 2 or 3 favorite ed tech tips or strategies or tools that you always find yourself sharing or are pretty high on your list?
Yes, I love Nearpod. Mm-hmm. Nearpod is my go-to tech tool. It has so much to offer. And if you just have, I know teachers are so busy and sometimes they can feel overwhelmed, but if you use Nearpod, it has everything a teacher would need to run a classroom. The lessons are already made for you and it has so much to offer. So I always have them start out with Nearpod because it's my go-to tech tool. It's my go-to ed tech tool. That's the one. That's one of the ones.
I love that because just like you said, a tool that encompasses a whole lot that you can use with many different grade levels, has some templates or ready to use resources. I feel like if I had a checklist for recommending something great to people that get started, there's just so many things that are there. And it's one of my go-to. I love interactive presentation tools, whether it's Nearpod or Pear Deck or Lumion. There's just a lot there. Yes. And just like you said, you can really facilitate conversations with educators or around best practices with some of these.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. And so glad you shared that as an example, because I think for anyone who is thinking about moving into a specialist role or a coaching role, it's really nice to have things like that in your back pocket, just ready to talk about with people.
Yes. It's so, one that you can pull out with a new teacher, clean, just starting out. And that's one that can get them going. That's one that they can use over and over again and feel confident with, I think. So I always recommend Nearpod to them.
Such a great one. And so before we finish up here, I'd love to make sure that everyone knows where they can follow along with you and learn more about your work. And I'll put links for anyone who's listening right now to tap on the screen or in the description of the podcast app. But if you can just kind of shout it out and let us know, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Okay, they can reach out to me, of course, on Twitter. And my Twitter handle is @itsrfleming. That's @itsrfleming. And they can also reach out to me by email at rfleming@liberty.k12.ga.us.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Rosie, for joining me for this episode of the Easy Ed Tech Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Monica. It's been a thrill. I really enjoyed it.
It was so much fun chatting with Rosie on today's episode and talking all about her role as an instructional tech specialist. Let's finish up this episode, like we always do, by making this EdTech easy. First, become a tech leader in your school. Next, Have patience as you're coaching and working with your colleagues. Then be ready to collaborate. And finally, love what you do. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all of the ways to connect with Rosie Fleming, on classtechtips.com/podcast. Look for episode 156. You can also click on the show notes button that you'll find in the description for this episode in whatever podcast player you're listening to today. This episode is sponsored by Hopra. Students need one place to find everything they need for digital learning. Hopra's Student Dashboard Digital Backpack brings together Google Classroom assignments and notifications, emails from teachers, reminders when an assignment is due or late, Google Drive files, and textbooks and resources. So students can log in and start learning whether they are one-to-one in the classroom or learning from home. Visit hopra.com/digital-backpack to learn more. If you have a moment to leave a review, I would super appreciate it. I read every single review that comes through on the different podcast platforms. I keep my eyes peeled for any questions that come in there too. So if you have a moment, please leave a star rating or type in a quick review. Not only do I appreciate it so much, but it also helps boost the podcast in search engines, meaning other educators will find it when they search for EdTech Tips.